This is Metal Chris, and you're listening to the Metal Embassy Podcast. Today, I've got a special guest, Andrew Lee of the death metal band Ripped to Shreds. Ripped to Shreds just released their third full-length album, Jubian, on October 14th. It's the band's first release on Relapse Records. So, Andrew, first I'd like to ask, how exactly did you get into death metal music in the first place?
For me, basically, I started listening to In Flames, I think sometime like in high school. It was the really terrible era of In Flames, you know, when they were still playing their nu metal metalcore stuff. But it served as like a jumping off point for me to get into real death metal. So like Dismember or Vital Remains or some of their early Entombed stuff. But I mean, it all started with the In Flames albums.
Hey, we all start somewhere, you know. So to my understanding, you are, I believe, Taiwanese. And at some point, There were two lineups for Ripped to Shreds. One was based in the U.S. and one was in Taiwan, with you as the only member of both lineups. How exactly did that come about? And are there still two lineups for the band?
I was offered a show at a festival somewhere in Europe. The deal ended up falling through, but I needed to get together a live lineup so we could actually play. And at that time, I didn't know anyone locally here in California. RTS was still pretty... I mean, we're an underground band now, but back then we were even less known. So I knew a couple people that I had been talking to and met in Taiwan. And so I reached out to them to see if they'd be interested in playing live with me. And they agreed. So I flew over to Taiwan. We did some practices, did some local shows. And then the festival promoter was like, actually, nah, never mind. You know? And then at the end of 2019, before we had the second album come out, I was thinking, okay, I got to play some shows locally here in California. And then that time I had a little bit more clout. I knew a couple more people locally, and I was able to put together a lineup here. So right now, we don't really have two lineups anymore. The California dudes are the permanent lineup now.
And one thing, speaking of Taiwan, it is a complicated country politically. And I guess I should ask you, I think I probably know the answer, but do you believe in independence or unification from mainland China?
I mean, come on. I'm a young guy. I think only the really old boomers in Taiwan still think about unification.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured. So Ripped to Shreds has many songs about East Asian war history. The song Reek of Burning Freedom off of the new album Jubian talks about the Korean War and the firebombing of Sinuiju, which is one of the cities in North Korea that was heavily bombed during the Korean War. Can you tell me more about this song's meaning and the role of military history, particularly East Asian military history, in the lyrics of Ripped to Shreds?
First, I'm a huge fan of Bolt Thrower. I'm a fan of Asphyx, Hail of Bullets, all of these great death metal bands that sing about war and death. But it's always very focused on the European theater, usually World War II, maybe a little bit of World War I. And there is just so much other history out there that we can talk about and sing about. And no one's really taken advantage of it yet. So I saw an opportunity for me to do something, you know, that's still pretty death metal, but just slightly different and something that made more sense for my own roots. The song specifically, America calls itself a bastion of freedom and democracy, but you can see the way that America meddles in other countries' governance, you know, all over the Middle East, in South America, in Asia, and often, and especially, you know, in the last decade or two in Iraq and in Afghanistan. So when I look at it, to me, the freedom that America exports is often at the barrel of a gun.
All right, now let's listen to Reek of Burning Freedom.
We'll be right back.
right, I'm back with Andrew Lee of Ripped to Shreds. And back in April of this year, he was also on the album Flourishing Extremities on Unspoiled Mental Grounds, a full-length release by the death grind band from Japan known as Pharmacist. How did you end up working with this Japanese band?
I haven't met Stefan in person before, but I started talking to him online, I think maybe around like late 2020 or so. And I was really into the first album that he put out. I reviewed it. I put it on my like top 10 list for a couple of websites. And after that, you know, he asked me to play on the Fluids split. He asked me to do a couple of solos for that. I did that and it turned out really sick. And then at the end of 2021, he asked me if I was interested in playing all the lead guitars on the new album that he was making. And I was like, sure, because I mean, Pharmacist is incredibly sick. He does ridiculous necroticism worship. And then when he sent me the songs for the new album, I thought, you know, they were really interesting. They were definitely a challenge to solo over, because when I write solo sections for Rip to Shreds or any of my other bands, I'm always trying to make those sections usually a little slower or more melodic so I can really emphasize a melodic solo. And if I have something that's more death metal where I want the solo, I usually play some Kerry King bullshit. But I wanted to challenge myself to do something that wasn't just Kerry King bullshit over these ridiculous twisted riffs. And it was a lot of fun. And I think we made something really sick.
Yeah, I really love that album. I was actually surprised to see that you were on that album and then are putting out a Rip to Shreds album later in the same year. That's got to be a busy year for you.
I wasn't writing any of the music on the Pharmacist thing. I was only doing the lead guitars. We were about like halfway through recording the new Rip to Shreds album when Stefan hit me up.
Yeah, and that's one thing I was wondering too. Did you record, I guess, the guitar parts in America and the rest was all recorded in Japan somewhere, I guess?
Yeah, I just recorded the solos in my home studio here. I sent him the recordings and then he did everything else in Japan and had it mixed there.
And I love that first album. The album is called Medical Renditions of Grinding Decomposition. And you're right, it is straight up necroticism era carcass worship, which is my favorite carcass album, so that's awesome. So the next song I'm going to play is the song Necromorph by Pharmacist. Anything else you can tell me about this song in particular?
Yeah, Necromorph was a really interesting song. You know, the first solo section is kind of like aggressive and wacky, and then it breaks down into a slower, more melodic section later on. And I was able to come up with some lead melodies that were interesting to me. And then I think some like the tapping arpeggios I did were like very Greg Howe, or I obviously ripped off Alan Holdsworth a bunch for like all the solos I did on this album. Necromorph is a sick song. I think maybe my favorite solo I did on this might have been on The Great Contractor, I think.
Well, we're not going to play that. We're going to play Necromorph here. So, all right, so here's Necromorph by Pharmacist off of their most recent album, Flourishing Extremities on Unspoiled Mental Grounds. right, we're back, and I'm still talking with Andrew Lee of Ripped to Shreds, his death metal band that just released their third album, Jubian, on October 14th. Now, Andrew, when the COVID pandemic hit and pretty much everyone went into lockdown, we saw a lot of musicians start creating solo albums. You made one too, and that came out in December of 2021, and it's titled Heavy Metal Shrapnel. It's 9 instrumental tracks of pure guitar shred with a big 80s vibe, clearly influenced by the likes of, let's say, Van Halen's Eruption, probably some Steve Vai and Yngwie kind of vibes in there. How long had you been thinking of releasing a solo album like this?
From pretty much day one, when I started learning guitar, you know, I got into all sorts of guitar shredders. Obviously, Malmsteen's a big one. Paul Gilbert, Vinnie Moore, Tony McAlpine. I think Tony McAlpine and Joey Tofolo were probably like the biggest influences on this album. It's something I always wanted to do, but I never really had the confidence to do it before, because writing a death metal song to me is real simple. You come up with a couple of cool riffs, and then you just write some nonsense and you go brrr, and you have fast drums, right? And then that's a death metal song. But if you want to write an instrumental song, you have to come up with all these melodies, and you can't just play them over and over again. And you also can't just play some nonsense solo for 10 minutes and call that a song either. So it took me a long time before I had the confidence that I had the ability to actually make an interesting instrumental album. I'm not sure exactly when I started on it now. Maybe it would have... I probably started coming up with songs for it maybe like late 2020, I think. But I wanted to make sure, you know, I had a whole bunch of different kinds and styles of songs on it. I didn't want to just have 9 super fast songs, right? I want it to be a varied listening experience. And then you're right about Van Halen. I love 1984. I love those keyboard driven songs on it. I mean, obviously, I love everything Van Halen did with David Lee Roth, but those keyboard driven songs on 1984 are some of my favorite things that the band did.
What is your favorite song in there? Mine's probably In the Valley of the Time Tombs, but I'm curious what your favorite is, because I'll actually play your favorite this time.
That's actually a real tough one. I'll just go with Blasting the Ozone Layer. It was the first song that I wrote for it. It has kind of like a power metal vibe, and it also has the similar vibe to maybe some of those early 90s Super Nintendo soundtracks for like Mega Man. Because like video game soundtracks were also a big influence for this album. But yeah, I'll go with Blasting Those in there.
All right, cool. Here is the first track off of Heavy Metal Shrapnel by Andrew Lee, Blasting the Ozone Layer. We'll be right back. All right, I'm back with Andrew Lee of Ripped to Shreds. Their new album, Jubian, just came out on October 14th, and it is sick. One song I wanted to ask you about, the final track on Jubian with the very lengthy title, Scripture containing the supreme internal energy arts that render the practitioner invincible throughout the material realm. It definitely seems like a nod to the Nile song, Papyrus containing the spell to preserve its possessor against attacks from he who is in the water. Let's just call the song Scripture for short. Does Scripture have any basis in some historical and or religious documents? And where does that mouthful of a name come from?
It's definitely a nod to Nile. We love Nile. Annihilation of the Wicked is, you know, one of the greatest death metal albums of all time.
Lash to the slave stick. Yeah.
So I'm a huge fan of martial arts novels, martial arts films. And there's a very important novelist called Jing Yong. And he wrote this series called Smiling Proud Wanderer. And in it, there's this martial arts manual called the Bixie Swordplay Manual. And the most important thing is that you need to castrate yourself in order to practice this martial art.
Oh,
but
man.
Once you do that, you gain invincible skills and you can't be beaten. And so a lot of the story is based around these various martial arts sects that are trying to acquire this manual so that they can become the strongest and be unbeaten.
I mean, I've heard of the iron groin stuff, but that seems like it's on another level. All right. Are there any plans for Ripped to Shreds to tour that will hit the East Coast anytime in the near future?
We are hitting up Europe at the end of April next year. At the moment, we don't have any plans for the East Coast yet. We are talking with some venues and bands, but nothing's set in stone yet. So we'll just make it a strong maybe for now.
I can take that. You're on Relapse now. Relapse is based in Philly. Most of the bands that are on Relapse come through this area sooner or later. So
sooner or later, we will hit up the East Coast.
Hey, maybe Maryland Death Fest or something, you know?
Yeah, that would be sick.
Now, I followed you on social media for some time, and I know that you spent a decent amount of time speaking out against racism in the world of heavy metal and beyond. Can you talk a bit about what it's like to be an Asian metalhead living in the Western world?
It's always kind of strange, especially when you grow up in the Bay Area in California, which has a huge Asian demographic. I think overall, it's like over 30%, and depending where you are in the Bay, it's like over 50 or 60. When you go to metal shows around here, it's almost entirely white people. It just made me think, why aren't there more Asian metalheads? And when I was growing up, I talked to my friends and they're like, oh, you're listening to metal? Why are you listening to angry white people music? And so there's definitely like a stigma against metal among Asians who grow up in the US. And part of that is because it's difficult for us to see people like ourselves in metal. It's pretty rare to have other Asian American metal musicians. I can think of Death Angel, Dave Suzuki.
Yep, from Vital Remains. Yep.
John Chang from Discordant Saxis. You know, that's kind of it. Maybe there are a couple more that pop up here or there, but it's just not very common. And then when I started going to hardcore shows in the area, it's like being back in high school because I see a ton of Asians everywhere. And then I think part of that is because there are so many bands with other Asians in hardcore right now. You got Hands of God, you got Gulch, you got Tsunami, you got Spinebreaker. I just think it's important for Asians to be represented in metal here in the States because we expand the audience here.
I think you're right. There's not a super high amount of Asian people that are visible. I'm sure there's more. I start digging through metal archives or something. There's a lot of bands from Asia that not most of them tour here. Like maybe Psy will once in a while or something, but it's pretty rare for East Asian bands to really even come to the U.S. anymore, ever.
It's real tough, especially with like all the visa stuff. But I guess that's true for any non-American band that isn't trying to like, sneak in. I heard that's why Coffins hasn't come back to the U.S. in a really long time, because they got caught trying to sneak in like 10 years ago or something.
I don't know the backstory on that, but I wouldn't be surprised. I've heard lots of horror stories of bands trying to get in and every year at Death Fest, there's plenty of bands having visa issues and stuff. Yeah. All right. Now, there's a song on the new Ripped to Shreds album that is in Mandarin, but apparently translates to Race Traitor. I'd like to play that song, Nyx, but can you tell me a bit about what that song is about?
I think when you grow up as a minority you often find yourself as a representative for your entire ethnicity. And if you want to discuss any problems that are in your community, it's really easy for that to be used as a weapon against your entire community. So often, and I think this is true for any minority, not just Asians, and you can often feel like a traitor to your whole race if you want to discuss any problems that are in your community. And especially with the pandemic, and people are trying to blame China for everything that's happened with the pandemic, you see a lot of that anti-Asian rhetoric right after lockdown and in the months that followed. That's part of where the impetus for writing the song came from.
All right, cool. Well, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview with me. Is there anything else you would like to tell your fans about the new Ripped to Shreds album, Jubian?
I hope everyone enjoys it. We had a ton of fun making it. I think we turned out something that we're super proud of, and we hope everyone enjoys it too.
All right. Now, here's the song Race Traitor by Ripped to Shreds. Metal Embassy is brought to you by me, Metal Chris, and DCHeavyMetal.com. I personally record, edit, and produce each episode for your listening pleasure. The Metal Embassy theme and credit music was written, recorded, and produced by Stefan Elie. The Metal Embassy logo was made by the Lord of the Logos, Christoph Spatzgel. If you have questions, comments, criticism, or suggestions for future episodes, you can email me at dcheavymetal@gmail.com. This episode was recorded in Adobe Audition, and I used an Electrovoice RE320 microphone. This episode's interview with Andrew Lee was recorded on Thursday, October 13th of 2022 via Zoom. You can purchase the new Ripped to Shreds album, Jubian, or any of the rest of the band's discography at rippedtoshredsdeathmetal.bandcamp.com. You can purchase the music of the band Pharmacist by going to pharmacistgore.bandcamp.com. And you can purchase the music of Andrew Lee's solo project, Heavy Metal Shrapnel, by going to, you guessed it, heavymetalshrapnel.bandcamp.com. Thanks for listening to the Metal Embassy podcast, and until next time, keep it metal, everyone.